ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 8. The study of the prayers by Queen Kunti, beginning with text number 26. Janma,
Janma
Aishwarya,
Aishwarya
Shruta,
Shruta
Shribhi,
Shribhi
Edhamana,
Edhamana
Madha,
Madha
Puman,
Puman
Na
Eva,
Eva
Arhati,
Arhati Abhidhyatum,
Abhidhyatum
Vai,
Vai
Tvam,
Vam
Akinchana Gocharam,
Akinchana Gocharam
Janmaisvarya Shruta Shribir,
Janmaisvarya Shruta Shribir
Edhamana Madhapuman,
Edhamana Madhapuman
Naivarhati Abhidatum Vai,
Naivarhati Abhidatum Vai
Vammakinchana Gocharam,
Vammakinchana Gocharam
Janma,
Janma
Birth Aishwarya,
Aishwarya,
opulence.
Shruta,
Shruta,
education.
Shribhi,
by the
possession
of beauty.
Edhamana,
progressively increasing.
Mada,
intoxication.
Puman,
the human being.
Na,
never.
Eva,
ever.
Arhati,
deserves.
Abhidhatum,
to address in feeling.
Vai,
certainly.
Tvam,
you.
Akinchana gocharam,
one who is approached easily by the materially exhausted man.
Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Padamahamsa Parivajakacharja Asta Tarasadashi Srimad, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. My Lord, Your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Purport. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up. Proud, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing Him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency, but there is a quality to such utterances also. depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely, 1, high parentage, 2, good wealth, 3, high education, and 4, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. Om Ajnana Timananda Shaganandana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shivaravena. So, if we want to go back to Godhead, and I'm assuming that everyone here wants to do that, otherwise why are we here in the Hare Krishna temple? We're not getting paid to be here. We're all obviously here because we want to go back to God. We want to get out of this hellish material existence. So, we have to take hint from Srila Prabhupada here. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. So that means we must be very careful not to be in the category of grossly illusioned persons. How to get out of that category? This should be the burning desire in the hearts of each and every one of us. How we cannot be a grossly illusioned person. Actually, we don't even want to be a subtly illusioned person. That is also dangerous. To speak of being grossly illusioned. So how can we avoid illusion of all varieties? This verse is giving us detailed information in this regard. The qualities which are considered great opulences here of material advancement, high parentage, good wealth, high education, and attractive beauty. These things are the cause of gross illusionment. So if we happen to possess these things, we must be very careful. In the Western world, we have wealth. We have attractive beauty. We have education, you see. We have, of course, the parentage isn't so high. But we have great opulence here in the West. Some of the parents are nice. Actually, all the parents are nice in one sense, because otherwise how they can have devotees as children. So in that sense, we all have high parentage. And that's in a positive sense. But the point is that we are very much in a position, in the Western world especially, with all this opulence, with all this education, material education, we have a condition of being grossly illusioned. We had one religion class come yesterday to hear something about Krishna consciousness. Their teacher brought them, about maybe 15, something like that, 10 or 15 bright young children or kids, you know, college or whatever, youth. But I could see that they were We had an enlivened kirtan. I was just looking at their faces to see if they would lighten, if they would brighten up a little bit. You know, having a real fired up kirtan, enlivened kirtan. There was about four of us doing this ecstatic, enlivened kirtan. And they were just sitting there like rocks. I was just seeing if they could open up a little bit. And they wouldn't. They were just sitting there like a rock. And it was a graphic example of grossly illusion. They even hear the holy name. They're sitting there hearing a whole kirtan. They have nothing to do except encouraging them to clap along. One girl kind of halfway, you know. She was a little bit bright-faced. The only one who even smiled, one girl. Mostly they just sat there. I could see what is grossly illusion. Here they are in the temple in a completely spiritual atmosphere in front of Gornatai, in front of Dada Damodar, the kirtan's going on. They just heard a wonderful presentation from Tabo Divyam Prabhu, but yet they were just like completely rocks. So this is the problem. You can go to a simple village in the third world and have hundreds of children chanting and dancing in ecstasy. Hundreds of children. You get the whole village to come out and join a kirtan. You see? Because they're simple. They don't have all these opulences. They're in a impoverished, they're in a materially exhausted position. But as soon as people become materially, opulent, they just become so proud. So very, very proud. Even going just one country over, it was just formerly part of this, going to Estonia or Latvia or Lithuania, where it was, the Soviet bloc, it was very repressed in terms of, Finland was not under the Soviet bloc. It was, it maintained that Western opulence. The Soviet bloc people were more like suppressed materially. You go there and there's you have huge, you get more people enthusiastic about chanting. You just cross the Gulf of Finland over here, you weren't under the Soviet bloc and all the material of repression of the Soviet bloc, and people here have been much harder. They're much harder to melt the holy names. So it's a graphic. The Gulf of Finland is that little line between here and Tallinn is a very this clear distinction, which illustrates what's mentioned here. Where people don't have as much materially, they will more readily chant the holy name with feeling, more readily. So those of us who here in the Western opulent countries, we should feel very fortunate that somehow, in spite of having all the disqualifications of high parentage, good wealth, high education, attractive beauty, that somehow or other we got the mercy. We got attracted to this Krishna consciousness movement. If you look at historically and how the movement started, who did Prabhupada first introduce this movement to? The hippies. The hippies had all of these things, high parentage, good wealth, high education, attractive beauty, but they said, this is nonsense. And they voluntarily became materially exhausted. They thought this is a better position to be in. They gave up, they dropped out of school, they quit their jobs, in the corporate world, they just went to places like the Lower East Side of Manhattan and to Haight-Ashbury and just lived in a very, with no furniture, sleeping on the floor, sharing communally, scraping together money somehow or other to get rent in a cheap neighborhood so they could all live together and talk about Eastern philosophy over candles. So the hippies had that quality. They wanted to be materially exhausted. They thought that's a better position than to embrace all this opulence of the Western world. They voluntarily said, yes, we don't want this. So they were a very good audience for Prabhupada when he came. Because they'd said, this is nonsense. All this, power and wealth, we're sick of this. So this is another example of how if one is materially exhausted, by force or voluntarily, that one is more able to feelingly chant the holy names of the Lord. And this is why we have brahmachari and brahmacharini ashram, you see. Because you're voluntarily putting yourself in a position where you're not after material opulence. You're just taking a simple, humble position as a monk, you see. And in this way, you have nothing to do except call out to Krishna, you see. It's very conducive, brahmachari life, where you're completely dependent on Krishna for everything. Not thinking, well, I have a big bank balance, so I can do whatever I want. I don't have to get up early, I can do whatever I want. I have money, I can spend it any way I want. You see, those things can easily bewilder the mind and make it very, very, very difficult to feelingly chant the holy names of God. Of course, if a person is spiritually advanced, they can have wealth without being polluted by it, but the tendency is to be polluted by it. So to be in a position of material exhaustion is actually very good. Prabhupada said that about himself. Of course, he is giving example. Prabhupada's completely pure devotee. But he said how Krishna took away everything from him. He was blessed him by taking away everything. His chemical factory burned, and he just lost everything. He was forced into a position of complete helplessness, where he just adopted the sannyas order and lived in Vrindavan in a simple room at the Radha-Damodar temple, and prepared himself to serve Bhakti Siddhanta's order to preach to the English world. So as we were studying yesterday, calamities are actually welcome. A suffering condition is welcome. Because what does it do? It pulls out, as long as we think we're together materially, everything is totally together, then we can be very proud and not feelingly chant the holy name of the Lord. But when the rug is pulled out, the material rug is pulled out from under us, and we really feel, I'm in a suffering, calamitous situation. This is a calamity. Right now, I'm in the midst of a calamity. Then you can really chant. Then you can really, really chant and take shelter of Krishna. So these two verses, yesterday's and today's, go together very nicely. Because this is how we come to that position of material exhaustion, of being in a calamitous situation. So we should not feel bad when we have difficulties. We should actually feel this is a blessing. Thank you, Krishna, for putting me in this suffering condition, because you're making it easier for me to take shelter of you. So in this way, if we have this mood, that there's no such thing as a negative situation that's unfavorable for my Krishna consciousness. Accepting every, even a reverse condition, is a very positive situation of complete material exhaustion, where I have nothing to do except chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So are there any questions on this particular verse? Yes.
Prabhu, in the purport it says that that there should be this feeling while we chant, that we shouldn't chant while feeling great material satisfaction. So many times when I'm chanting, I don't have that kind of burning feeling for Krishna.
It says the man who utters the holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. We want to feel helpless. Prabhupada always said that, or we've quoted him many times, it's that when he may have said it once, but he says we should chant the holy name of the Lord like a child crying for the mother. Well, that's quoted again and again. So that's a very, very good mood of a helpless child calling out for the mother. If we can be in that mood, that's why calamities are welcome. Actually, we are in a calamity. We just forget about it. It's called a material body. This is a calamitous position to be in, having a material body, which is destined to get sick get old and die today or tomorrow, at any minute. Here's a nice rule of thumb. You should always live your life as if today is your last day on this planet. You should always live as if this is your last day. This is the end. Because one day it will be. Isn't it? So you live this day as if this is the very last day you're going to be on this planet. That's how serious you should be about taking the mood of pure devotion. Because someday it will in fact be the last day. So if you train yourself to live every day as if it's your last day, then you'll be set. When the final exam comes, you'll ace the exam and move on to the next level. Goloka Vrindavan. Or, to be precise, that place where Goloka Vrindavan is manifested in Krishna's Leela, traveling on this roadshow throughout the material universes. You'll catch up with Krishna's roadshow, wherever it is. It's like they have the traveling festival in Poland, you know. So you'll catch up with Krishna's traveling festival program, going through the material universes. And there you'll be trained up in whatever your role is in the festival, you see, whether you're a gopi or a gopa, or a rock or a flute, or a bird or a butterfly or a blade of grass, you know, whatever your role is. You get trained up. Come to the gopi department or the gopa department and get trained in your new service. You see, then you get trained up for every role you have in Golok, and then after that, then you'll go to the original Golok. So you should prepare yourself. Be ready to get, you know, to be for your transfer to the next, to the traveling festival program, Krishna's traveling festival program. You should always be ready. You see? Just like I'm sure that many, just like in disciples of Indradumna Swami, if they got an order from the Guru Maharaj, come to the traveling festival program tomorrow, they'd be very happy. You see? So we should always be ready for that order from Krishna. All right, it's time for you to come and join my traveling festival program. So we should be ready, you know, to do that at any minute. Leave our body and go back to Godhead by being in the mood of pure devotion. And we chant Jai Radha Madhava. Prabhupada is a window for the spiritual world. So we can actually meditate on Krishna's pastimes when we're singing, not just sing the words, but actually meditate. You know, Kunja Bihari, which is one who enjoys in the bushes. We can think of Krishna and his enjoyment pastime in the bushes of Vrindavan. When they sing Kunja Bihari, we can try to visualize in our minds the wonderful pastimes of Krishna going on. You know, Giridhari Vari, one who lifts the Govardhan Hill. Certainly you can meditate on that because your Guru Maharaj has made that nice DVD about Govardhan. So you can, when you're singing Jai Radha Madhava, you can deeply meditate on Govardhan. So in this way, we try to go very deep into these things. Actually try to enter into that complete spiritual world through meditation when we chant Jai Radha Madhava. In this way, just try to purify our consciousness in everything that we do. So that when indeed that moment does come, it's no problem. We're trained up, we're ready, okay, that's it. Leave the body behind, go to the next destination. Don't be so attached to that lump of flesh. I mean, what's it doing for you anyway? That male body or that female body, what's it doing for you? Is it making you happy? No. It's causing you so many miseries. Birth, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Birth, death, old age, disease. So detach yourself from that body. Use it nicely for Krishna. Don't abuse it. But be detached from it. You must be detached from your body. Otherwise, how will you handle the time of death? No, I can't leave it. If you're in that mood, there'll be another crew to come to usher you to your next position. They will be called the Yamadutas. For those who are materially attached, there's a special crew that come to help you get out of your body. If you're attached to it, they're called the Yamadutas. They have to put a noose around you and yank with great force. The Vishnudutas are very gentle. The Yamadutas are rough characters. So which way would you like to be escorted out of this body, by the Yama Dutas or the Vishnu Dutas? You decide. You prepare yourself every day that this could be my last day. Let me live it in pure Krishna bhakti. Let every thought be pure. Let every word be pure. Let every action that I perform be pure. Then you're all set. The Yama Dutas will be very happy to come. My dear soul, come now. We have a wonderful new service for you. Come. Something of you very excited and enlivened with. Come, come. But the Yama Dutas, you don't want to meet those characters. They're really, really ghastly. We actually had an experience when my wife and I were cultivating. She was in the hospital, very sick. And they gave her some injection, which caused an allergic reaction. Her tongue started swelling up, and she was choking on her own tongue. And Mataji was yelling the holy names into her ears, and I ran out in the hall and screamed for help. Some nurses came in and gave her another injection to counteract the first one, and we saved her life. But she actually said she saw these hideous creatures coming. It's lucky she didn't leave her body at that time. She got another chance. She saw these hideous creatures coming. So we don't want to be in that position. We have to learn how to understand how helpless we actually are in this material world and feelingly call to Krishna to help us and to save us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Questions more? Yes.
Well, does that mean that we are also in danger while we are in the movement?
Are you, even in this movement, you can be externally in this movement, but internally not be in this movement. So don't think that just by Christianity, I accepted Jesus, now I'm saved. It's not some automatic thing. Some cheap thing, you know. You just put some tilak on your nose and now you're saved. No. You have to actually you have to learn how to call the Lord with feeling if you want to be saved. If you can't feelingly utter the name of Krishna in a mood of dependence upon Krishna, you're not ready to go back to Godhead. I'm sorry, you're not. And so you have to internally be a member of the Hare Krishna movement, not just externally. You know that bhajan by Bhaktivedanta Thakur? He says, here comes another, what is that? Another prakriti. How does he say in that bhajan?
Kali Chela.
Here comes another disciple of Kali. He has tilak in the nose and he has kanti mala on the neck, but he's keeping so many women for illicit sex. You see? So you may dress externally as a brahmachari with shaved head and tilak and negvi. But if you're a Kali Chela in your heart, then you're in a very dangerous position. So you cannot be a disciple of Kali. You must become disciple of Prabhupada and Krishna and gurus. You see, in this way, you'll be on the safe side. There's no automatic thing that I'm now initiated, so I'm saved. No. It's like saying, well, I enrolled in the university, so my degree is guaranteed. You see, not like that. Well, I am registered, so now I'm ready for my degree. No, registration means now you have to work hard to get your degree. Registration doesn't mean you're now a graduate. You haven't even registered yet. You see, you're just getting ready for registration. So don't think that you're over the hill. You have a long way to go, and you have to really buckle down and get very serious now. If you take it very seriously, even right now, this very minute, then you can die today and you'll be fine. If you put yourself completely as a surrendered soul at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, that my dear Srila Prabhupada, I have no desire except to serve you. Please engage me in the best way that I can serve you for all of eternity. If you can bow down at Prabhupada's lotus feet and sincerely pray like that, then you're safe. You're safe. You're protected. Any other questions? Yes.
Prabhu, isn't that a problem if we develop some skills, increase some external skills?
What is he saying?
Some external skills.
Let me turn the volume up on this thing. Okay, what's
that? External skills.
Huh?
Isn't it necessary for Krishna conscious to have some external skills?
Oh, if you have those skills, those are the gift of Krishna.
Could it be a problem if we get or take shelter of those things?
No, you should not take shelter of those skills. That's ahankar, false ego. But at the same time, if you're in the right mood, seeing these skills are not my skills, they belong to Krishna, therefore they should be used for him. Our philosophy is yukta vairagya, not that you artificially give up your talents. Prabhupada wanted the devotees should be engaged. If they're good at something, they should do that for Krishna, because that will be good for our movement. You see, if somebody is skilled at making nice decorations for the temple, why we should not engage them in making nice decorations for the temple? If someone can paint beautiful paintings, if someone can lead an enlivening kirtan, why that someone who can't sing should be allowed to lead the kirtan? You see. Prabhupada always liked to engage people according to their talents. But we should never be proud of my talent, thinking, yes, I am great because, you know, I can sing a tune, or I'm great because, you know, I can cook a really fantastic sabji, or I'm great because, you know, I can distribute so many books. You see, I'm great. They have to worship me now. Whatever talent or ability we have, it is all the gift of Krishna. In fact, Krishna says in the Gita, he says, I am the ability in man. You see? So whatever talent or ability you have, you understand that is Krishna's mercy. And that should be used for Krishna. But never think that, you know, I am great. Then that will be the end of your spiritual life. The beginning of the end. The beginning of the end. I am great. Questions more? All right.
About this praying, sometimes when I'm on the street, I'm in real trouble, and then I know that now is the time that I should pray for Krishna. But suddenly I get really proud, like that praying would feel like poison or something. But suddenly I'm very proud.
And that's why you have to pray. You have to pray, my dear Lord Krishna, I don't want to pray, because praying feels to me like poison. So please bless me that somehow I can learn how to pray to you with feeling. And the easiest thing is you just recite the prayers of the easiest thing is you take a prayer by one of the acharyas, like yesterday. I mean, what could be a better prayer? Vipada shantuta shashvat. Memorize this prayer and then recite it. You'll have Queen Kunti's help in uttering the prayer nicely. Vipada shantuta shashvat tatra tatra jagad guru bhavato darshanam yatsyada apunarabhavam darshanam. You pray that way out in Sankirtan, I guarantee you the calamity will go away. The tiger that was devouring you will disappear. You simply feeling the utter her prayer. You can say it in your Finnish language, or English, or in Sanskrit. Any of the three languages will be good. If you memorize Kunti's prayer, then I guarantee that tiger will be gone. He'll run away. A tiger will run away. You will not be in a calamitous position. If you can't pray on your own, then just repeat the prayers of the acharyas. And then by that, you can learn to pray on your own as well. By studying their prayers and understanding the mood of their prayers, then you can pray on your own. In the beginning, actually, one should simply recite the prayers of the acharyas until you really learn the mood. Then once you do that, you can write your own prayers. Awesome. You can make your own prayers to Krishna. But you have to be in the right mood. If you pray in the wrong mood, then you're just, you know, you're lighting the fire and pouring water on it. So you don't want to pray in the wrong mood of material desire, even subtly. So that's why we repeat in the beginning, one should simply repeat the prayers of the great acharyas. So you know you're on the right track. And gradually you can learn how to pray on your own prayers. So I think we better move on. I have an assignment here. to move on for the Bhakti Vaibhava course. We don't want you all to be held back on getting your Bhakti Vaibhava degrees. So we'll continue reading some slokas now. Namo kinchana vittaya nivritta gunavrittaye atma ramaya santaya kaivalya patigay namaha. My obeisances are unto you, who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and are master of the monists. So now you can learn how to pray by hearing these prayers, you see. Prayers by Queen Kunti. If you want to know how to pray, you just study this chapter again and again and again. I guarantee you, Queen Kunti will teach you how to pray. She is our guru. She is our siksha guru. She teaches us how to pray to Krishna. Manye tvam kalam ishanam anadi nidanam vibhum samang charantam sarvatra putanam yam mita kalihi. My Lord, I consider your lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. Shishi Gornitai Ki Jaya. The dissensions between living entities are due to social intercourse. Naveda kashchid bhagavang mustya kirashitam tave hama nasha ninam vidambanam nayasya kashchid dayitosti karchid vishyascha yasmin vishama matirinam. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. Janma karma cha vishvatmam ajashya kartir atmanah tiryan nishishu yadhusu tad atyanta vidambanam. Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, and that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. Gopyadade tvai kritagvisi dama tavad yate tadashru karelanjara sambramakshnam vaktram naniya bayabhavanaya sitasya samang vimohayati birapi yad vibheti. My Lord Krishna, rather, my dear Krishna, Jashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Kechid ahur ajang jatam punya shlokashya tirtaye yado priyashya manavaye malayashyeva chandanam. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. And others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearmost devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Apare vasadevasya devakyam yachito bhyagat ajashtvamasya chaimaya vadaya chasaradvisham. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Bharavataranayanye bhuvo nava ivo dhadho siddhantya buribharena chito hyatma bhuvartitaha. Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you. and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shavana smaranarhani tadishyan itakechana. And yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned soul suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Shrinavanti gayanti grinati abhikshnashaha smaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha ta eva pashyant yacharena tavakam bhava pravaha paramang padambujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Well, here's a nice insider's secret. Those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so. We just have to learn how to continuously enjoy chanting and hearing. It's all we have to do. We have to train ourselves that we can go on 24 hours a day being totally enlivened and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. If we do so, what will be the result? We will see Krishna's lotus feet. We will see them. Pretty good payoff, isn't it? The ultimate reward is to see the lotus feet of Krishna. And that comes to those people who become addicted to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord 24 hours a day. So don't leave any gaps for Maya. If you notice any gaps where Maya comes into your 24 hours, close the gap. If you see any place where the levee is going to flood New Orleans, then just plug the levee. Don't let Maya in. We have to keep all the Maya out and be 24 hours a day absorbed in Krishna Katha. Machchita magata prana bodhiyantak parasparam katayam tatasham tatmrasat katayam tashchamam nityam chasanti chabhimanti cha. And we absorb ourselves in this sweet nectarian activity of hearing and vibrating the glories of Krishna, you can know sure and certain that you will see the lotus feet of Krishna, actually see them. Text 37. Up yadya nastvang svarakrite hita prabho jahasasi svit surido nujivinaha jeshang nachanyad bhavanta padam bujat parayanam rajasu yojitam hasam. O my Lord, you've executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us now when all kings are at enmity with us? Kevayam nama rupabhyam yadubi saha pandavaha bhavato darshanam yahi rishikanam iveshituhu. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of a living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities along with the Pandavas and Yadus will end at once. Neham shabishyate tatra yate danim gadadhara tvat padaya ankita bhati svalakshana vilakshitahe. O Gadadhara Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Ime jana pada svadraha supaksh vashadi virudaha panadri nad yudadvanto ya rather hye ghat hye dhante tava vakshitahai. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects, because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. and this is all due to your glancing over them. Ata visvesha visvatamam vishvamurate svakeshu me sneha pasham mimangchindhi dridham pandushu vrishnishu. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vishnis. Tvayime nanya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit ratam udvahatad adha gange vagham vadanvati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. I hate to stop, it's so sweet. There's some limit of how far I can go. Maybe there is, time-wise. We have, how many days are you supposed to have for this? Actually, there's enough for just one more day, so we'll stop here. That verse is really incredible. Let's read that once again. Trai me nanya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratim udvahatad udha. Gange bhagam udanvati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So we should make our mind like the Ganges, flowing to the sea of Krishna. You see? We should make our mind like the Ganges River, just flowing to the sea of Krishna. Right now there's some, you know, a big series of dams built to keep it from flowing to Krishna. There's so many dams. Illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, gambling, offense number one, offense number two. Each offense is a dam which keeps the mind from flowing to the lotus feet of Krishna. Especially Vaishnava Aparad, that's a big, huge dam. It's keeping our minds from flowing to Krishna. So we have to go in and break down all those dams so the mind will just flow like the Ganga to the Bay of Bengal. Jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Kunti Maharani ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.